It takes a strong conviction to come out Monday night and attend the church. Praise God, you come out tonight. Amen. And only a few Christians got the courage enough to come to church every night. Amen. And appreciate you for coming out. And I'm sure if you just apply the word of God, I believe after this meeting, your church and you, you'll never be the same. Our problem, as Christian, we are so good of listening, but we are not doing it. We believe what the preacher said. That's right. Amen. Go home the same. Nothing will happen, my friend, until we decide to obey what we heard. So that's my prayer. I am not here to bring revival. I am here tonight just to preach the book. Because only God and the word of God that can bring revival. Amen. I want you to pray for us. We're quite excited to get home. We've been away for about, this coming September 28th would be 3 months. I'm excited to see my little boy, cute as can be, amen, and be back to normal work. And when we get back, we'll be very busy. October would be the wedding day of my daughter. November would be our missions conference. And then December would be our family conference. And then December is another church camp in our church. And then the first quarter of the year will be busy of our 10th revival back to back. And then after that camp, then after that all kinds of activities. So please pray for us. I praise God today for the help of Brother Stanley and Brother Dale Wilson, packing up my sound system. And we're excited. We'll be shipping that to Chicago. Big, you know, boxes. And I mean, it's a lot of weight. And while we are packing up, praise God for Brother Dale, he bought the plywood. And we make boxes, 3 boxes. And tomorrow is another one. And while they're packing up, I look unto the Lord and I said, Lord, where are we going to get the money to ship this to the Philippines? And I said, Lord, I just trust unto you that you'd provide the need from here to Chicago, from Chicago to the Philippines. I don't have nothing to ship yet. That items to my country. I need your prayers for this. I need your help on this. From Chicago to my country is about $800 for 3 big boxes. And from here to Chicago, I don't know yet for the forwarder how much he would charge us. So I want you to pray for us for that specific need. I contacted the forwarder in Chicago and they said, your items should be here, your boxes should be here before the end of September so that you can use it in the first quarter or in February in your big meeting in the Philippines. So please pray for us for that. Would you? Amen. Please pray for the needs. And I'm asking you to pray for us because only God can supply the need. Amen. He is the source. And this is his long time ago. You know, I learned it for a long time. When God calls you, you just obey him. He'll be responsible of everything. When God called me to plant a church from scratch and from nothing, I went to that particular city. I didn't know of anybody. No church promised us on support. But I just went to the mission field, start sharing the gospel, and wanted to plant a church by faith. And the Lord blessed because God will always honor when you trust God. So that's what I learned in the ministry. When he opened the door, he is responsible. Amen. And he will do the work. So I commit your prayer and please pray for us for that. Tonight, I want you to open your Bible tonight in the book of Acts. If you want to get back to an old-fashioned Christianity, New Testament church, a church that Christ founded, and by the way, a church that Christ founded, that should be a kind of church that we should have. Amen? The church that Christ founded made an impact during their time. And our question today, why our churches now is not doing anything? What's the problem here? If he is the same founder, the same God, what's the problem about churches today? Why we do not have such kind of church in our time? If God is the same God that founded the church, if our church is the same Jesus, the founder of church, the question is why we do not have the breath what he had before? Or maybe we only had religion. Hello? Last night, I touched the subject. I tried to preach last night that you can be able to picture out the first church that Christ founded and what the church did during their time. And I tried to preach last night that as a result of that revival of that first church that started in Jerusalem, they turned the world upside down. As a result, they were able to cross the border and consider to preach the gospel to the Gentile world. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is, if our church do not have such a breath the way they had before, listen to me. There's no reason why our churches today should remain exist. Because God intended his church to preach the gospel with the power of God. And it's very sad that every day in your country, 3,000 Baptist independent churches close down your doors and no more business with God every day. And very sad, every day, Muslim mosques are being built almost every day in your country. Muslim is mushrooming every corner, and Muslim religion is converting your black community in your major cities in this land. They came with a hidden agenda, and your government is being deceived with that. And they are growing fast. The fastest growing religion in America is Muslim, while Christianity is dying. What's the problem here? Our Christianity is so lousy. We're not serious of our Christianity. That's the reason why. Amen? Tonight, I want you to see this church right here. Why they made an impact. Why they were such a powerful church. In fact, I mentioned that last night, when Jesus gave them the warning
to just stay and wait for the power of God. They obey until the power of God came down. Because in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, amen, in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Then, after the coming down of the Holy Ghost, that church was empowered, that church experienced the power from on high, and just one preaching, in the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls got saved. Amen. Amen. That's recorded, my friend, in the chapter 2 and in verse 41. Before I go to my text, that is part of my introduction. In chapter 2 and in verse 41, they that gladly receive his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Listen to me. The church founded by Christ started with the 12 apostles, and then 70, and then 120, and these 120 members worked hard. And Apostle Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, and just one preaching, 3,000 souls got saved. You are talking revival. This is real revival from the book. Amen. Hey, there will be no revival without souls being saved. Because souls being saved are a result of the power of God. There will be no revival without the power of God. Amen. Now, look in verse 42. The Bible says, and they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. Look at that, prayers again. And then not only that, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. This is the true character of the true church, the first church that Christ founded. Question, do you have this kind of church? Are we united in our prayer? Are we steadfastly supporting the fellowship of the church, the prayer ministry of the church? Not only that, in verse 46, it says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. That is the true picture of the church in the New Testament that experienced a God-given power and God-given revival. I'm talking about biblical revival. I'm talking about old-fashioned revival. I'm talking about old-fashioned Christianity. And that's what we need. And in here, in verse 47, praising God and having people with all people, and the Lord added to the church, look at the word, daily. Amen? Daily. Do we have this church? This is our church. My friend, this is a kind of church that God founded. Now look in verse chapter 4. This is about, and this is now my text tonight. That's part of my introduction. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 31. In Acts chapter 4 verse 31, the same church, they got the power of God. They prayed. Hello, amen? Amen. 3,000 souls got saved. And these 3,000 souls that got saved continued steadfastly learning the doctrine, supporting the fellowship. They were united in their prayer. Listen to me. As a church. Can I tell you something? That's what we're missing in the churches. That's why we do not have the power. That's why we do not have revival. We do not have a church-wide prayer meeting. Our mind believes that prayer brings power, but we are not willing to obey. We're not willing to come out and come to the church and pray us united prayer. We do not have the corporate prayer. That's why as a church, we lost the grip of God. Because as a church, as a body, the body has no power because we do not pray as a body. What's going to happen in your church? If your church will have a prayer meeting, and every time you have a prayer meeting, this is the attendance, and everybody come just to pray, I'm telling you, you're going to see the new leaves of this church. If you will not follow the Bible, your revival this week does the same way. You just have revival. You just have a yearly revival. But I promise you, you decide that as a church, you need to develop a corporate prayer. That's where you get the power. When the church is united, when the church is in one accord in prayer and in fasting, in Acts chapter 13 last night, when the church of Antioch were praying and fasting, asking the wisdom of God if Paul and Barnabas are really called by God as the first foreign missionaries, they were praying and fasting. While they were praying and fasting as a church, the Holy Ghost said, look in chapter 4, verse 31. Chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, hallelujah. Amen? Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and speak the word of God with boldness. Hello. That's a kind of church that Christ founded. That's a kind of church God wants to in a church. The church should be united. The church should assemble and just pray as a church. Very clear in the book that Jesus is the head of the church. Amen. And the body is the church. Can you imagine? Can you picture out tonight a body without strength and energy? This body will not do anything if you don't have strength. And exactly that is a perfect picture of our churches today. Amen. That's why churches today, not only dying, churches today are handicapped and disabled. What's the problem? Because churches do not have the power of God. You'll never have the power of God unless you'll decide as a body to pray in one accord, as united and gathered, the corporate prayer as a body. Amen. Preacher, I believe in prayer. I do fasting in my personal life. You enjoy that for yourself, but I'm talking to the body. I'm talking to the assembly. The body is the assembly. You as a members of the church. That's my challenge to you. That's from the book. Believe me, if you believe the book, next year your revival meeting will not be the same. Because you will have the breath of God. You'll have the power of God. Because all the parts of the body is functioning and healthy and doing something when the brain and the head will tell you something. I am trying to tell you tonight that that is the true picture of the first church that Christ founded, said in the book. At the same time, I'm trying to tell you that our churches today, just like a body, that are not doing anything because it's so sickly, so weak. We are handicapped. We come and go Sunday after Sunday in our church. Question, what are we doing as far as the command of the Lord is concerned? Reaching out the lost souls. What's the purpose why God saved you? What's the purpose why God founded the church? For you as a church, as Christian, to reach out the world. Amen? Church, listen to me. You're so wise. You're so wise. You know how I say that? If you are a fisherman, a wise fisherman knows where the fishes are. Some of you, as fishermen, you go to the lake with a fish finder to be sure that when you drop your thing, there is a fish down there. Amen? Now, not only that you, as a fisherman, you see fishes down there, but the most exciting when you know that what you're doing, the fish down there is gonna bite. Because what's the use of all these things if fishes are not biting? Are you with me now? Praise God. You invest your money to those fishes that biting. Amen? You help us a lot of catching fishes in the Philippines. Praise God for you. I appreciate you of honoring the leading of the Lord to Brother Jeff and his wife to work with me as my representative, because he saw the need and opportunities. I cannot do all these things. I need more workers to help us to expand and grab the open door. I praise God for you. You recognize that. But my friend, listen to me. We can do more if you just get back and pattern our church, the way Christ founded. Because I strongly believe, regardless how hard is your people, regardless the attitude of your people, we are preaching the same gospel, we are preaching the same book, we have the same Holy Ghost, and He is the same power that can do the same. As a matter of fact, if you study the first century Christianity during the time, it's even harder than to compare in our time today. They were under persecution under the Roman government. I mean, for them to go out outside publicly, they have to be willing to sacrifice and willing to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. Right now, you just go anywhere, you have all the freedom to share the gospel. But we're not doing it as a church because we lost the breath of God. Amen? We lost that. In chapter 4 and in verse 41, that's what happened to this church right here. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were all assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they speak the word of God with boldness. Verse 32. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. Neither seed any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And verse 33, and with great power give the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace upon them all. Let us pray. Father, I pray today, please, Lord, as I open this book, give me freedom, give me liberty, and give me your power. Because tonight, that is my subject. I need you, Lord. I need your power. Please help me. Forgive me, God, for all my unrighteousness. Cleanse us away. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Friends, tonight, we must believe tonight that we are all in need of God's power. We need His power to live the Christian life. We need His power to overcome the enemies of our souls. We need His power to overcome our flesh and ourselves and the world and the devil. We need the power of God. We need His power to reach the lost world. All the power we need, listen to me, is all available. Amen. It's all available. We have the promise of power in the Great Commission. In Matthew chapter 28, my friend, and in verse 18, we have this promise by Christ Himself. He said in chapter 28 and in verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and speak unto them, saying, listen to me, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost. My friend, that power is available, and that power is yours and mine as long as we obey to go. If you're not willing to obey, and if you're not willing to go, you'll never experience that power. I challenge our young preachers in the Philippines. I told him, your secret in the pulpit, your secret in the ministry is your obedience every day of sharing the gospel to the people. Personally, easy for me to lose the grip of God if I cannot share the gospel to the lost world and the lost souls. You just try. Because He said, all power is given unto me. Go. Amen. Amen? That power is available. In fact, Apostle Paul himself, that is his passion. He longed for the power of the resurrection in his ministry. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10. Look at that. The secret of Apostle Paul in his ministry. Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10. He said in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. He said that I may know him, listen to me, and the power of his resurrection. Oh, I hope that's your longing. I hope that's your craving. I hope that is your desire. Lord, help me, give me that heart's desire to long the power of the resurrection of Christ. Church, we will never enjoy the power of God unless you will crave the power of God and experience the power of God in our life. Amen? That's what Paul said. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. The early church, the church that I'm talking about, this church that made the impact, this church that Christ founded, this New Testament church, which should be the pattern of our church in Acts 17 and in verse 6. Look at that. This church, my friend, is a powerful church. Look in chapter 17 and in verse 6. And the Bible says, and when thee found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. This church, this New Testament church, this church in Jerusalem turned the world upside down. Not because they were influential, not because they were cultured and educated people. Simple. They got the power of God. And that's what we're missing. The power of God. I hope you are here this week. You say you're having revival. No revival will take place without the power of God. Let us plug into the power of God. Preacher, how can God's power can be ours? How God's power can be in our churches? How God's power in our time can be our experience in our daily ministry? First of all, we must plug into this power of prayer. Our text is very clear. Chapter 4 and in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken when they were assembled together. Amen. That's in verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. When God called us in the ministry, no church promised us on support. I just went to the mission field. When I have the family, it's quite hard and tough. You plant a church in a Catholic country, really real tough and hard. But I said, Lord, you called me. You teach me too that if I'll pray, you'll answer my prayer. I made a covenant with God that the first service and first week of our ministry, when we start that work, we will have a church-wide prayer meeting every Saturday as a church by 4:30. To 7 o'clock. For the last 34 years, last 2 weeks ago was our 34 years celebration. Since the time we started the church for the first week, me and my wife, and 3 and 4 new converts started church prayer meeting. For the last 34 years. During the time when our church started to grow, 50, 60, 100, 430 in the Philippines, no means of transportation. Our people do not have the car. I can see it with my eyes that our people, they need to wake up by 3 o'clock from their home and walk and attend our prayer meeting every Saturday. And I saw it with my eyes that inch by inch, God honored our prayers. Church, what's going to happen in your church if there will be no new breath that will start church-wide prayer meeting whatever time you do? I'm telling you, I promise you, you'll have a new life. If you believe in prayer, if you believe in prayer, because some of you, your mind said, I believe in prayer, but you are not willing to come out and believe and act what you believe. And that's your problem. Hello? Amen? Yes. That's your problem. We believe it. Yes, preacher, amen. If the preacher will say, 6 o'clock, we'll have church-wide prayer meeting, we will find out who really and truly believes the word that prayer brings power. You know why we lost the power of God? We don't pray. Yes, our mind, we said, I pray, but we do not pray the way God is expecting us to pray. We pray because we have leisure time and extra time. We're not even willing to give up our one meal just to pray and fast. We're not even willing that. Your prayer time here in America is more on fast food than spending time in fasting and prayer. But when you study the book of Acts, those people pray whole night, prayer and fasting. I mean prayer and fasting. That's why they turn the world upside down. That's why every day is just like revival. I mean the whole world recognize, hey, this is the church. We cannot stop the growth. We have to slaughter them. And tell them, the more they slaughter the disciples, the more honor their faith. Can I tell you something tonight? We are not willing to sacrifice ourselves just to get hold of God. I hope, I pray that the Holy Ghost will bring conviction to each one of us tonight. Because you are so lazy of sacrificing our time and ourselves for the sake of the work of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I mean, this is not revival. This is just a program revival. Unless you are. I remember one time in Indiana, Roanoke Baptist Church, Pastor Bachman was the pastor. I had revival meeting whole week. I mean, the Lord just came down. They got convicted. They started their prayer meeting every Saturday. I mean, they started that one, not even 3 months. The government called him up and said, preacher, I know your church is overflowing. Your Christian school is overflowing. We have a public school here. We'll get rid of it because we're going to start and build new buildings. We will give this to you. They could not believe it, but they were praying that somehow God will give them piece of property. Because they are praying for the piece of property, because left and right the church are growing. I'm telling you, you are talking miracles and answered prayer. That's answered prayer. Amen. Church, can I tell you something? You'll never see miracles after miracles until you are willing to sacrifice yourself and spend more time in prayers. Amen. I remember many, many years ago when I was struggling in my ministry. No one promised us on support, but I have a big grieving that I will build a big church, Christian school, Bible college, radio ministry, and all these ministries. But our people do not have resources. No money. I said, Lord, how I can do this? Lord, please. God started working in my soul a desire to visit America, a desire to share my heart to American churches. And I went to an open to the U.S. Embassy and apply a visa to visit America. And you know, when you go to an embassy in the Philippines, U.S. Embassy, and apply to come to America, they'll be asking you tons of money in the bank to see to it and to be sure that you can afford to travel to America. They'll be asking you tons of titles of your property to give them an assurance that you'll be going back to the Philippines because you have tons of properties in the Philippines. And I, while I was applying, the officer asked me a question and said, how much money do you have in the bank? How many properties do you have? And I said, sorry, I'm a country poor. I'm a country preacher and a poor preacher. I don't have nothing. And he said, how much money do you have in the bank? You'll be traveling to America. How you can do that? And I told her, I said, I am a preacher boy. And he said, how I can do that? And I told her, my God. And he said, when you travel to America, how... How would you support your family here? You cannot even show it to us, just a piece of bank book and the money in your bank book. You don't have the bank book. And how would you support your family while they are here in the Philippines? And I told him, my God. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, Reverend. I'm very sorry. Boom, giving me a visa to come to America. Hallelujah. Now I got the visa. I'm excited to go to America for the first time. I prayed, Lord, you must be kidding me. You give it. Now you touch the heart of that officer. You said that the heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord. Your word is true. You just changed her heart. You must be kidding, Lord. If you touch the heart of that officer, you must give me money to buy an airplane ticket. I prayed. I woke up 4 o'clock in the morning and talked to the Lord. And I said, Lord, you know my heart. You know my heart. I want to do something for you. But our people here do not have resources. I want to share my heart to America. Please, Lord, please, give me the money to buy a ticket. To make a long story short, lo and behold, somebody just called me from America, from Michigan. And he said, brother, no, how are you? I said, I'm okay. And he said, you sounds like you just got up. And I said, yes. As you know, daytime in America is nighttime in the Philippines. So he said, anything that really you want to share in your heart words, I can pray. And I told him, God knows I've been praying that I'll go to America. And I applied the visa. And I got now the visa. I don't have the money to buy an airplane ticket. And he said, how much you need for the airplane ticket? Again, don't ask a missionary like that. And I told him, and he said, okay, tomorrow, claim the money, buy a ticket. Hallelujah. I got a ticket. I'm excited to go to America. I don't have a nice shoes, no coat, nothing. My wife went to the flea market, and all those junk in the flea market is all junk from America. Our people bought that, and it's all junk from America. Anyway, my wife bought that one and giving me like this one. I'm going to America, a piece like this, and our church make a special offering for my shoes because the preacher is going to America. I landed in Chicago airport with only $50 in my pocket. Now, I landed in that airport. You know Chicago. I landed at 2 o'clock in the morning. I have a hard time how to get out from that airport. And I said, Lord, I kneel down on that airport. I said, Lord, help me here. When I got up, I saw a black man. He said, son, you need a black guy. Anything can help you, son? Sir, please help me to get out in this airport. I cannot find how to get out from this airport. And he said, where are you going to go? And I said, I got to go to First Baptist Church because I know they have a pastor school there and I want to stay in that pastor. I want to attend that pastor school. I said, yeah, come on, come on. All the way, he put me in the bus and dropped me in the door of that church. Amen. I have no money to pay my hotel. I have no money. I stay at the rescue mission of the church. I was around with the bums and all kinds of people. I have fun with them. But I was enjoying the pastor school with Dr. Jack Hiles. Dr. Jack Hiles, it's been my desire a long time. I've been reading his book, In the Sword of the Lord, and his book. I was so inspired of his ministry. I said, Lord, I don't care if I die. I just want to see his ministry. What is on this man? Why he got the power of God? Just by reading his book, I'm inspired. Just reading his book, I could see right away thousands of people to minister. I don't know. I want to see. And I attended that pastor's school for a long week. And after the pastor's school, and I told the Lord, Lord, where are you going to go here? I have no idea. I just pray and fast. Before that pastor's school was over, one pastor came up to me. And he said, you must be a missionary. And I said, yes. And he said, from what country? I said, I'm from the Philippines. And he said, do you have any church to preach to this coming Sunday? I said, no. And he handed me his gospel tracts. And he said, come to my church and preach for me this coming Sunday. I didn't realize that he is from Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. And from Chicago to Philadelphia. Oh, my soul. How do I get there? I asked people to put me on the train. And this preacher picked me up from the train station. And then, first church I preach in America. First church I preach. The power of God came down. We got revival in this church. And after service, this old man crying hard. He said, brother, no, God could forgive me. He said, tell me what I can do for you. And I told him, sir, right now we are in the stage of planting a church. We are renting buildings because our church is growing. We don't have a piece of property. And he said, how much money you need? 30 years ago, I told him, I need $20,000. And he said, this is yours. When I read the $20,000 check, I throw in the air. I said, Jesus, thank you for answering my prayer. You are a God-answered prayer. went back home and buy that piece of property that right now is filled up with buildings. Amen. I can tell you stories after stories. Just one thing. God answers prayer. Amen. But God will not answer prayer until we are willing, listen to me now, until we are willing to pay the price. If you want God to really answer your prayer, if you really believe that He is a God who answers prayer, pay the price. You've got to come to your knees and don't get up from that knees until you got the peace of God, that God is already smiling, answering your prayer. Amen? Amen? My friend, that's the power of God. How to plug in the power of God? We can plug in into the power of God by prayer. I'm not talking about individual prayer. I'm talking about church prayer. I'm talking about one accord prayer, united prayer, church. As we see in our text, chapter 4, verse 11, the church of Jerusalem, the membership were assembled together where they were praying. The place were shaken. Amen. Can you imagine what's going to happen to your church if you as a church would say 70% membership of this church believe in prayer, will assemble together and just pray together. The Holy Ghost will come down and God will answer your prayer. But the thing is, we are not willing to pay the price. Amen? Amen? We're not willing to give up ourselves and our comfort. We're not willing to give up our early hours of praying. I told my crew and my people, I told him, when we have overnight prayer and fasting, the best time to fight the flesh, when you are in between 2 or 3 o'clock, when your body is really pulling you to really sleep and rest, that's the time to really combat and fight the flesh. When you overcome that, you got the power of God and the breath of God. If you cannot overcome yourself and your ego with prayers, my friend, you'll never have the breath of God. The place was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. The message is clear tonight. Power comes through prayer. The disciples asked Jesus, "Jesus, teach us to pray." Amen? Oh, we are so good. We are well taught in many things. We are very good in organization. We are very good in our doctrine. We are very good in our teaching. We are very good in our teaching techniques. We are superstar on that. Can I tell you something tonight? What's the use of all those stuff without the breath of God? All you need is the power of God. The 12 apostles were just simple people, but they got the hands of God. Amen. My friend, this power is available. Oh, too many are not educated in the school of prayer. We must learn how to pray. by asking big things and expecting answers prayer. Prayer brings the power of the Holy Ghost. Prayer brings boldness in telling others of Christ. So that's the first thing we learn from this verse. Look in verse 32. Look in verse 32. We must plug in into the power of prayer. Number two, in verse 32. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. What is that, preacher? They were of one heart and of one soul. Number two, we must plug in into the power not only of prayer, but the power of love. Amen. Oh, what's going to happen to our church if true love is being regulated and experienced by every member of the church? The church is going to be a powerful church, a unique church, an example church. The church should be the one that would display true Christianity to the world. The world is yet to see Christianity through our Christianity as a church, as an assembly. You know what you are missing as a members of this church? We're so discord. We're so divided. That's why we lost the power of God, because we do not care each other. Amen. The mandate of every church that Apostle Paul founded, he always concluded his epistle telling the church, pray. The phrase says, one with another. One with another. Pray for one with another. Carry your burden one with another. I mean, accept one with another. I mean, love one with another. The word one with another is no more in our assembly. Too much individualism spirit in our churches today. Hello, amen? That's why we lose the power. Some of you and many of our church members, before the preacher say amen in the church, he or she already take off and go to the parking lot and run. No time to share his life to a brother. And that's what we're missing. But we will never have such power unless we Christians learn to love our brethren in the church. Amen. Can you see the verse? We love one with another, one spirit and one soul. And the multitude of them that believe were of one heart and of one soul. And neither said of any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. I mean, Christian fellowship in a church must be built on love. All Christian effort is useless without love, because love forgives. Love breaks the barriers. And love, my friend, looks for the best in our brothers and sisters. Love is considerate of others in the church. Love produces passion for lost ones in the community. Love enables Christians to put away their differences. And love makes people more important than the things of the world. And that's what we're missing in our church. In verse 33, look on that verse. As I close the verse, he said, and with great, what is the word? Power. And with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Let us plug into the power of prayer. We must plug into the power of love. And lastly, we must plug into the power of witnessing. Amen? My friend, the Bible says, great power gave unto the apostles witness. This praying church, this loving church became powerful witnesses. The witness of the power of the cross and the resurrection. Soul winning is the greatest need of our time. Churches today are now not witnessing. My friend, witnessing Christians are a powerful force for God. Can I tell you something tonight? And this is my experience for many, many years. And I praise God. I'm not trying to tell you that the church is super. But listen to me. Every week, every day, souls are being saved. Our members live and write every day are witnessing. Every Tuesday, our church go out as a church and attack a certain community. And our young people, we disciples our young people and use our young people to evangelize their school. My friend, I know you believe in soul winning. I know you believe in witnessing. You believe that. But I tell you what, what's the use of believing that if you're not doing it? Amen? Amen. Preacher, you have no idea. Our people here are hard. God is not telling you not to tell people because people are hard. You just tell them anyway. Amen? I mean, wherever I go, I tell people. Those that would listen, hallelujah. Those that would not listen, that's their choice. But I do my job. Amen? I do my job. Last two Saturdays, me and my wife, I don't know if I see you this, but I have to tell you, you know what? Jesus Christ said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus Christ said, I will make you fishers of men. You follow Jesus. You follow the command. You follow and be a fisherman. You just follow him and tell you what to do as a fisherman. Can I tell you something? Every summertime, the best spot in fishing is the flea market. And garage sales. That's my favorite. Because when you stop by and ask their prices, they are so nice to you. You're still too far, but they smile at you. They're so good. And tell you what, they cannot snap you because you are one of their prospects to buy their stuff, but you have the message to tell. And I won many souls in the flea market, in the garage sales. Last Saturday, my wife was trying to ask questions, but those are just, you know, the idea. Ask prices, and they'll get in on you right away. My wife shared the gospel. This young mother here cry hard around people, say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. for all my sins. Lord, I've been this age and first time, Lord Jesus, that you'll forgive me and secure my eternity when I die. She got saved. Every day she keeps on texting my wife, where are you now? You're the person that I'll never forget my life because you told me how to get saved. Is that precious? And when you share the gospel, just like your Christian life, just like flying on the air. And that's where you get the boldness and the power and the excitement when you touch and share the eternal gospel to the needy people. Your life and Christian life will be more substantial and exciting when you obey the simple command of the Lord. I'm not here, not trying to be fancy. Simple message. When you obey, you'll have revival. Amen. Amen? Simple. Because that's the way how this first church turned the world upside down. They got revival. Why they got revival? They prayed. They loved each other. They witnessed. Simple command. Let us pray. Father God in heaven,